Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host Robert, and Eddie's Smileyville was not supposed to be an instruction manual, Glasgow. Jeez. And with me I have...
I watched a guy nearly die on pay-per-view on Sunday. It was a lot of fun. Let's do it again in a couple weeks.
And...
Okay, fuck it. I need my own war show, but I only need a war show at this point. I need somebody to fund it for me. So, guys,
if I think I know how this works right, you know how, like, when you beat the shit out of people in Grand Theft Auto, their money just falls out? let's go find David Zaslav. And
good idea.
We'll go from there.
Yeah.
And yes, I know, I mean, if y'all are like so over on the You Know What Awards, that you can see as our co-host did a whole thing on it.
I had to spend my entire day off doing it because they pissed me off so bad I had to.
Yeah, I get it. I mean, once again, y'all picked a very mediocre show with a mediocre second season to be anime of the year. And yes, I'm doing shade. Yes, I'm doing shade at Jujutsu Kaisen because look, I'm sorry, y'all. That second season sucked.
It and was a step down.
You know, it's really sad when Reddit seems to do a better job of this.
Kind of, maybe. I mean,
at least they give more breathing room to other shows than just like
I'll say that. At least they have variety in their shit rather than just here's this show 9 times. Here's this show 7 times. Here's this show 6 times. Even a show that you might like, here's it 1 time.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I kind of knew it was going to happen because, let's see. Who presented Anime of the Year at the baby? And it was again Dress as Gojo and look at Dan Fine doing it.
Megan Thee Stallion.
That's a little bright spot.
I only have two opinions about all this business. One, Megan Thee Stallion as Bruno Bucciarati, respectfully. And second, congratulations to Ryan Colt Levy. I'm happy for him.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, him too. And I also want to say I didn't like that Samurai Shampoo tribute where they performed Battle Cry, which, like, since Samurai Shampoo been on for 20 years, which, fuck, that's been on for 20 years. That's been on for 20 years. Damn.
Yeah. In short, to borrow from the immortal wordsmith of our generation, Bender, you know what? We're going to do our own anime awards show with blackjack and hookers. In fact, forget the blackjack.
Well, yeah, of course. You got to have to unless they make a new blackjack anime or something.
A couple years ago. At least that way I could have put Final Lotus on it. I mean, all our nominees since... Yeah.
And if you think it's kind of strange for us to spend the opening minutes of a music podcast bitching about anime, consider it a warm-up. Well,
just wait.
It's foreshadowing, you see. Although we could always roast other things. Seriously, the whole fucking Willy Wonka experience...
Oh my god.
Oh yeah, that shit.
That was some amazing spectacle. First of all, good on the Oompa Loompa lady for at least trying to make the best out of a bad situation. She seems like a genuinely nice person, considering everything. Second, the unknown honestly looks like the missing fourth member of Imperial Triumphant. And that's a joke that probably only like 3 people are gonna get.
Ugh.
Seriously, what the fuck? How do we still not have an answer from the organizers? Like, what the hell?
Ugh. Maybe they fled?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's like, I don't know, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. It's literally like 3 raccoons in a trench coat.
Vincent, it's Vincent Adult Man in a very stupid form.
I did a business.
Yep, you sure did.
Anyway, here we are, episode 341. How's everyone's week been?
Not much to say on my end, because it's just been one of those bleh, blasé weeks, in a matter of speaking, which, yeah, the urge to just go out to the beach for a couple days is getting stronger and stronger, because my brain is just rattled. Very, very rattled. Doesn't help that people tend to bother me just by, you know, existing.
It do be like that sometimes.
Yeah. Trying to get eggs in a basket is a little more difficult than you'd think when you have multiple baskets you have to take care of. But we're trying. We're trying.
Fair enough. Mark, what about you?
Okay, there's been plenty with my week. I will say recently I've gone back to do a rewatch of Avatar: The Last Airbender, the anime, the show. Wow,
like, it damn. Basically is one. Come on.
Yeah, fuck it. Yeah, fuck it. Yeah, I was like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm gonna revisit this show. Maybe I'll just go afterwards, and maybe I'll take a shot at that Netflix show. If even though I heard very, very mixed things about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's that, and I do have it's more of a bad news, good news situation, or at least, well, it's more bad news first than good news. Bad news, I discovered that I found a nail in my tire, thankfully, I found it early and got that shit, taken care of. Of $18.
Yeah, that happened to me a couple times. It's never fun.
Yeah, it's never fun, but the reason why I'm relieved now is because this is better than the last time that happened where I was a wreck.
Thank God.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had that happen to me, like, I forget how many months ago. Thankfully, the nail didn't pierce anything, but that was still like, God damn it.
Yeah.
Anyway, as for me, not really much to report on either, other than I'm finally past 20 floors in the Splatoon 3 Side Orders DLC. The call of the roguelike is strong. Will I get to the top of the tower soon? Who fucking knows? I can't really think of anything else, so yeah, I guess we can move on from that to start discussing the usual business, starting, of course, with the new song discussion for the past week. As always, there will be a playlist down in the description, so you can follow along with us and pick up some new tunes and mark your calendars for new albums and all of that fun business. So, starting right at the top here, it's been a hot minute since we've heard from the doom and sludge metal band Inter Arma. Their last studio album was Sulfur English back in 2019, which I thought was a pretty good record. And they've announced their newest project, New Heaven, due out on April 26th. Looks like we have the title track here as the first release single. Now, if you've never really listened to the band's style, it is very doom-laden and very, very discordant. And at least from what I've heard of them, their style can be kind of hit or miss. Like, they have songs and albums I like, as well as ones that don't really hit for me. This one is kind of in the category of, it's not really doing much for me. Like, it starts off with a lot of these very, like, squealing atonal chord progressions and these mix of, like, weird drum rhythms and blast beats, lots of double kicks and other kinds of, like, blaring guitar effects. In occasion, like, kind of like these synthetic stuttering sounds in particular. And the vocals themselves, of course, being aggressively caked in reverb and echo throughout. Like, the main vibe I get off of this is that it's kind of like Imperial Triumphant without the saxophones. And honestly, not quite as good. I know this kind of sounds like I'm splitting hairs because, like, it's very extreme off-putting metal. So how can you say, like, you don't think it sounds great? But, like, like I said, they've done music I like. I mean, I re-listened to some of Sulfur English, and that was a really good album. It was very intensely doomy, but it also just kind of had this great sense of melancholy to it that I think really worked in its favor. If this is going for that Imperial Triumphant sound, I don't know. I guess I'll have to wait to hear the rest of the album, but this first single just kind of leaves me a bit cold.
Kind of seconded, like, the opening main guitar riff lick thing, whatever you want to call it, it's what I call crazy bus metal. Just a lot of... And that's not pleasant to my ears at all. I know the kind of music they're doing isn't pleasant to the ears in general, but this was just especially unpleasant. I can't say I was too into all this. Like, if you're doing weird string skipping arpeggiated crazy bus sounds, that's a immediate thumbs down for me.
I just got that reference.
Moving on to the next track here. Speaking of bands whose last studio album came out back in 2019, Pelican. Last major album from them was Nighttime Stories. Shit, I remember, I had that album slipped into the rotation at my university radio station for the brief period where I was a genre director. That was, of course, before, you know, the entire world just decided to shit itself inside out, but... Either way, we bring them up because there's new activity from the band on the way. And we actually have two new songs here in particular. They're, I believe, both available as, like, a single you can order. The first of these songs is called Drift, and the other is called Tending the Embers. Now, if you're familiar with Pelican's overall style, there's not much to, like, how do I put this? You know what to expect. So, like, with the Drift, for example, most of the song kind of oscillates back and forth between, like, 6-8 time and also kind of some 4-4 time signatures during the last couple minutes. You know, the drums hold down the beat very steady without too much in terms of extravagant fills or patterns. The guitars, the way they're played, is very straightforward and comprehensible. Although there is, like, some solid layering of, like, different chord progressions and melodies, so it's not completely monotonous, although I guess it depends on your taste. Much the same can be said of Tending the Embers, as they chug along at almost kind of the same tempo. There is a bit of a bridge in the middle that sticks out, where there's a lot of vamping with the drums and guitars, sort of ramping up with these very big sounding chords. It's solid enough, nice to listen to, but it's kind of in the middle as far as, like, Pelican's overall output is concerned.
This is a little more my style, though. It's a bit laid back and doesn't go too insane. It just lets all the buzzy guitar riffs do all the talking. It's all instrumental music anyway, so there's not much I can really say about it, but I'll consider it a solid good. It's a solid good.
That's going to be the newest addition to the Fantano rating system. Now, moving on to the next track here. Arf, arf, motherfuckers, it's time for some Not to Lose. The last time we heard a proper studio album for the band was A Different Shade of Blue, their second full length that came out back in, well, goddamn, 2019! There's a motif here I'm noticing. But after some increasing hype, including a very well-received performance at Coachella some years ago, they finally have the release date set for their third studio album. May 10th, we'll see the release of the album You Won't Go Before You're Supposed To, and we have a new track here called Blinding Faith, which was actually previously debuted live not too long ago, before the studio version officially got released. And no surprise, the song starts off very pummeling and heavy, with a lot of buzzing, squealy guitar leads and very muddy guitar chugs. The drums kind of have a mix of, like, you know, those hardcore punk D-beats, a lot of those menacing grooves. Often with the tempo swapping between, like, those halftime beats and then kind of, like, slamming the gas, especially, like, in the back half, although there is that really menacing breakdown towards the end. And, of course, if you're familiar with the various memes about Knocked Loose, you won't be surprised to learn that the vocals are still very much the expected mix of, like, the bellowing gruff low ends, and then you get those piercing shrieks coming from Brian Garris. I am absolutely here for this kind of obnoxious mosh fodder. Inject it into my veins, people.
Okay, first off... Second off, oh God, what was I doing? Okay, how does it go? Okay, well, I was trying to do something, but there's a point where there's like in the middle of like the second or third breakdown where the main guy goes, and where the fuck did that pig squeal come from?
I think that might be the guitarist who also does backup vocals.
Well, that was after the bassist and the guitar player did their vocal spot.
Oh, well, shit. Then, damn, I guess he can also go low. Holy shit.
Yeah. Yeah, speaking of, third off, can the guitarist do more vocal duties because his vocal range doesn't pierce my ears? And fourth off, this video has way too many cuts to it. Like, way too many quick cuts. The song is fine, though. It's fine.
Yeah, that's how a lot of editing is these days. Just cuts everywhere. But, anyway, moving on from that to the next track here, which is not from a metal band. And in fact, it's from one of the biggest country artists out there. That being Kacey Musgraves. So we're about a couple weeks out from her newest album, Deeper Well, March 15th to be precise. We already got the title track, if I remember right, and that was a solid enough lead-off single. And now we got another one here called Too Good to Be True. Once again, it's a pretty straightforward acoustic tune, a lot of pretty mellow, nice-sounding melodies, with a lot of focus placed on the vocals and lyrics, which are about being in a relationship that's so enjoyable that you don't want it to be, well, too good to be true. Like I said, not much else to say. It sounds nice, the guitars are nice, Kacey's vocals are nice, and the lyrics are a very appreciable sentiment overall.
I'll echo what I said last time, and it's fine. It's cromulent, it's inoffensive, it's fine, while also being a bit cardigan core in a way. If you get it, you get it.
Okay. I'm gonna say this. It's nice sounding. It's I appreciate what it is, which I felt pretty good.
All right, now moving on to the next track here. It's been a hot minute since we talked some Rico Nasty around here. Looks like she's got a new project coming out March 29th called Hardcore Dreams. I assume it's Red Hardcore Dreams, but that joke was too good to pass up. And it's a collaboration with someone that, to my knowledge, I don't think we've ever talked about in this podcast, Boys Noise, a German electronic producer who's been at it for a good couple decades, from what it looks like. And so the two have released a single here called Rin Tin Tin. It's, if you're wondering about the title, it's pretty much just a random, like, nonsense ad-lib that Rico Nasty repeats throughout the song. But I gotta tell you, hearing that sent me on a bit of a rabbit hole because I was like, why does that sound familiar? I feel like this has been in something before. And the immediate recollection was, I could have sworn I heard that phrase, like, in the background of a Todd in the Shadows video, specifically the One Hit Wonderland episode about Scatman John. He was doing this, like, bit about how, like, 90s Eurodance producers would fucking throw a dance beat on every goddamn other genre imaginable, including, quote, Cuban jazz. And when I looked even deeper into it after several Google searches and other deep dives, turns out that the track that he was referencing in question was called Magic Carpet Ride by Mighty Dub Cats. And the sample of the nonsense term in question comes from a 1970 song called Yo Soy Cubano by Chacachas. And if that sample sounds even slightly familiar, you'd probably be more familiar with it from being sampled in, of all places, Kendrick Lamar's Backseat Freestyle. I bring up this tangent because, if I'm being honest, the actual song itself kind of doesn't give me much to work with. Like, I mean, the beat sounds like, you know, Euro, trance, modern stuff. The lyrics are mostly just kind of, well, like I said, the main lyric is basically a nonsense term. It's not my favorite Rico Nasty material or anything. Bring back 100 Gex.
Yeah, I'm just gonna say this. It, like, I know it's supposed more to the hyper pop style of Rico Nasty, at least more even well that without 100 Gex, although maybe they kind of need it. I heard of Boys Noize before. I mean, mostly doing remixes and stuff. I think I'm gonna be honest, the one time I recognized Boys Noize, they did a remix song to a tap to a Daft Punk album, or at least a Daft Punk remix album. It was a remix album of Tron Legacy. It's been what, 10 years since then, 10 years since that thing dropped. But yeah, this, I don't know, like, I mean, granted, I'm going to, I'm going to, be okay with Rico Nasty, more of a hyper pop style, but this one leaves a little to be desired.
Yeah, but with that out of the way, we can move on to the last track we have on the set. So Charli XCX, the last studio album we got from her was a Crash, which came out back in 2022. But it looks like she's announced a new project coming out this summer. That's all we know. That's just the general release window. It's called Brat, and we have the first single here called Von Dutch. First of all, I think this album is in competition with Ariana Grande's Eternal Sunshine for the worst album art of 2024. Like, it's literally just like a colored background and the word brat in, like, I think it's Calibri or like fucking Sans Serif. It's just some basic font against like a basic construction paper color. Like it's between that and a slightly blurry photo of Ariana Grande's face. Oh my God, just hire people to make actual album covers. Sorry, I've been holding on.
Well, the thing is, nobody's doing that because they're all using AI, like the fucking Pestilence.
Pestilence.
Y'all got called out on that shit, and now you just backtrack your way back. You shouldn't have done it in the first place. People can tell.
Pestilence, Deicide, fucking, I think Hour of Penance got bust. A whole lot of extreme metal bands giving up to the machines. Wow. If there's anybody I thought would have some goddamn integrity in that regard.
By the way, the font is Arial Narrow.
Oh, that's still basic.
It's very basic. It's like,
yeah.
it's a definition of a basic ass font.
Yeah, like, fuck, if that's all you're gonna do for your album art, at least use Comic Sans. That's memorable, if nothing else.
Yeah, it is quite a step back from how I'm feeling now in Crash, but the song would beg to differ.
Yeah, so lyrically, the song is a pretty bratty call-out track to people who are like very jealously obsessive of her and her success. Instrumentally, I'm getting a lot of clashing ideas here. Like, the beat itself, like on its own, is a pretty solid, like, energetic dance club track, but there's something about Charlie's vocals that are just really off here. Maybe it's because of like the mix of like how booming a lot of the bass is with how effects heavy her vocals are on this. You put those two in the same space and it's like, I don't know, it's like putting on too much cologne, personally speaking. Or it's like if you have like, I don't know, a piece of chicken that's like pretty well seasoned, maybe a little bit spicy, and then dump an entire bottle of fucking Da Bomb hot sauce on it. It
Oh
just kind of stopped feeling anything. Although I will admit, I do like the
no.
music video for this, which basically boils down to like Charlie beating the shit out of a cameraman who's like chasing her all around an airport. It is pretty funny to see that, to get like a POV shot of Charli XCX laying the smackdown on you.
Yeah, I said it's the music video is probably the most important part of the song. The song is, the song, the song is slightly like fine to me, I guess. Like, I do. I like this hyper pop thing better than the last one. Again, it's slightly above average. Okay, although I will say at the end, she says how she's asleep at the luggage thing at the airport, whatever the fuck it is, or something like that. It's like, oh, okay, okay, and then credits.
Yeah. Apparently, the genre is called electro clash. Originated from the 80s, it's like a subgenre of that whole new wave pop scene. As the song, well, I guess it's good to have an anthem of self-affirmation. Not much else to it. The video does not clash well with the song. It's just a little weird, but yeah, that's all I got here. I got nothing.
So basically you're saying all those styles kind of crashed?
Hey!
Yeah. I guess you can say that. It's a real styles clash, if you will.
I believe it was
Waka Waka.
I believe it was Jacksepticeye who said, "Laugh."
And now I'm reminding that, and that was the reason I figured that Crash album cover, but instead of Charlie, it's Garfield.
Everything is Garfield.
Garfield is eternal. Garfield is love. Garfield is life. Garfield is death.
I no longer require eyes, John. But, yeah, that'll about do it for the new song discussion. We're going to take a quick break before this becomes even more unhinged. And when we come back, we'll have a decent amount of news to discuss. So stay tuned. And we're back. So we have a decent amount of news to discuss here. Most of it, various tones of, well, let's say it's mixed bags all around. So to start off here, we have a murder investigation reaching a very long gestating conclusion. So as most people, you know, most hip-hop heads know, 2002 saw the tragic murder of the famous DJ Jam Master Jay, best known for his tenure with Run DMC. Yeah, that whole entire era in general just wasn't not good times for Run DMC. Especially not with everything. But in a recent trial, it looks like a jury actually found two men guilty of murder. This was last Tuesday. So the decision was made after weeks of testimony at the U.S. District Court, Eastern Division of New York Courthouse in Brooklyn. So, the convicted men are Carl Jordan Jr. and Ronald Washington, charged with murder, quote, while engaged in a narcotics trafficking conspiracy and firearm-related murder, as the Department of Justice said. And according to United States Attorney Breon Peace, more than two decades after they killed Jam Master Jay, real name Jason Mizell, in his recording studio, Jordan and Washington have finally been held accountable for their cold-blooded crime driven by greed and revenge. That the victim, professionally known as Jam Master Jay, was a hip-hop icon and Run DMC's music was born in Hollis, Queens, in this very district, and beloved by so many, adds to the tragedy of a life senselessly cut short.
Yeah, so this has been in the works for almost 4 years, starting as an indictment of, well, conspiracy, citing a drug deal that apparently did not go, we'll say, according to plan.
Yes, apparently, according to the attorneys, Jam Master Jay had begun dealing cocaine because this was kind of like, you know, again, in that big slump period for Run DMC, not the least of which involved the existence of Crown Royal.
There's nothing new about this because, like, recently, they had a documentary out on Peacock called Run DMC following Kings from Queens, which they did touch upon, you know, his murder and did an update of, you know, of who did it, like during at least around the third part of that documentary thing. And yeah, and yeah, 2000s were kind of a slump for DMC. Not just for, you know, the whole crime war thing, but stuff like, you know, how DMC had, you know, suicidal thoughts and all that shit.
It was a very bad time all around.
Yeah.
Yeah, just not good.
Yeah.
Yeah, apparently there was, there is, like, I was gonna say, I saw a passage in here that stood out that, according to the Rolling Stone piece here, Judge LaShawn D.R.C. Hall instructed attendees to remain calm, though it was anything but that once the verdict was read. Apparently, one person had yelled, "Y'all just killed two innocent people," and someone else screamed, "Bullshit, bullshit, he didn't do it, the feds made the witnesses lie." So, definitely mixed reactions from the crowd and audience.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, these two are set to face a minimum of 20 years in prison. There's going to be a sentencing day later. There was also a third individual indicted who might be getting off on some kind of plea deal. Basically, the individual laid the rest of the groundwork to get to this point. That individual's trial will be set in January of 2026. No word on how that's going to play out, at least not yet.
Yeah, well, obviously there's going to be a bit of a wait to see where the next steps of all this go, but we'll see what happens when it happens. And moving on to the next topic here. So, it's been about a month at this point since the beginning of the infamous debacle between Universal Music Group and TikTok. Well, I guess technically it started a little bit before with the negotiations between the two parties ultimately breaking down. But the end of January, beginning of February was the exact moment where they're like, okay, pull the plug. And Universal Music Group began pulling a lot of their artist songs off the platform. The funny thing is, like, as someone who does go to TikTok a decent amount, it didn't get rid of the videos. So it just got rid of, like, the audios.
Yeah, that's kind of, yeah, like, all of them are very muted. Like, you see, you can't hear the song. It's like, yeah, basically, let's say you use Kendrick Lamar and, nope, it's gone. You use The Weeknd, nope, it's gone. You use SZA, even though she signed the RCA, but, you know, well, we'll get to that in a moment, but, yeah.
So, now, it's escalated to the point where, Universal Music Publishing Group songs are being removed from the platform. So, yeah, even more stuff is muted, just to kind of quote from some of the, material, at least according to the piece we're citing here, some of the listed artists who now you can't listen to anymore include the likes of, Adele, Jack Antonoff, Justin Bieber, Mariah Carey, Lana Del Rey, Kid Harpoon, Ice Spice, Elton John, My Roommate Stole My Coca-Cola, Lorde, Demi Lovato, Metallica, Metro Boomin, Miguel, Britney Spears, Harry Styles, Taylor Swift, SZA, Justin Timberlake, The Weeknd, and many more. I apologize for that interruption, but my roommate might have joked about interrupting the podcast. And now my Coca-Cola is all the way on the other side of the room, and I can't just leave right now.
Okay, there's your levity after the bad stuff. As the individual who does not do any of this TikTok crap, pay them fair wages, pay them what they're owed, pay them fair royalties. I see this, even though I don't give, you know, a single solitary fuck about this platform, but, whatever.
Yeah, so I'm curious where this is all, like, headed, ultimately, because obviously, like, at this point, I'm really not sure if the two parties are really gonna reach any sort of, negotiations here. So, I mean, hell, according to Music Week, their understanding is that Universal Music Publishing's catalog is somewhere between 20 and 30% of popular songs on the app. depending on the territory. So, obviously, that's going to be a real pain in the ass for, I mean, anybody who likes using the app and for the artists. That I am curious about this, like, how this impacts the charts, given how much, you know, TikTok streaming has factored into all of that business. I don't know. I'd have to really see, like, if there's any, like, real breakdowns of the charts. I mean, obviously, aside from, you know, Spectrum Pulse doing Billboard Breakdown and all that. So, oh boy, that app is in a place.
Yeah. Wow, so not only is the main music group is been saying, yeah, we're taking that shit off. Now, the publishing group is not saying, yeah, we're doing that too, and Again, that is a question. Can this build the end of TikTok? We don't know. I'm just saying that this doesn't mean just spice up shit. But fuck it, I don't know.
But moving on to the next news topic here. So remember how we opened the podcast by doing a bunch of bitching about the Crunchyroll Anime Awards? Now
time to come back around.
Yeah, so in yet another instance of unusual brand synergy between Decibel Boost and Podcast ONA, where our interests intersect. How? Well, we're about coming up on the end of, what is it, the winter 2024 season?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I just want to make sure. Sometimes I lose track on that stuff. So we're about getting started on what I'm pretty sure is the spring 2024 season, where we're gonna have a new batch of animes rolling themselves out. Probably a few originals, but a lot of adaptations, and I'm pretty sure there's some big ones in there. Probably one of the biggest being Kaiju Number 8, an anime adaptation of an ongoing manga series from author Naoya Matsumoto in Shonen Jump Plus. The premise of which involves a 30-something man named Kafka Hibino, who struggles in life because he was never able to join the Japanese Defense Force in killing the kaiju that invade the city. Instead, he works for the guys that have to clean up the guts and shit afterwards. Until one day, he ends up swallowing a kaiju, like, in an unexpected attack, like some sort of weird monster mutant thing, and he gains the ability to transform into a humanoid kaiju himself, thus granting him the skills necessary to join the defense force and hopefully finally live up to his dreams and stand alongside his childhood friend Mina Ashiro, who's one of the top-ranked officials in the defense force. In case you can't tell by that explanation, I myself am quite the fan, as are a lot of people. It's been, like, one of the biggest hits on the Shonen Jump Plus platform, up there with the likes of Spy Family and Dandadan. It's one of their big flagship series. And I've been decently looking forward to the anime at this point. Like, even though I might have some hesitations about, like, some of the character design work, when you actually see the trailers and see it in animation, it all looks pretty solid. So, for context, the actual production is being handled by Production IG and I believe Studio Kara, the studio.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the studio behind the Rebuild of Evangelion projects, and I think some other things as well. So, you know, see some of the trailers, and it looks, the animation looks better in motion than it does, like, in stills. But then we saw the latest trailer, and while animation-wise it still looks good, it came with a real sinking stomach feeling announcement. Apparently.
Yeah.
Sorry, you want to go?
Okay. Yeah, because I have to follow all these news stories as they happen, gathering up for my show. And this all started from a tease from the band One Republic. I sent this into our group chat, and one of my co-hosts said, because there was nothing listed on, you know, the post, there was nothing, you know, identifying what it was. One of my co-hosts said, after seeing it, and I quote, That's Kaiju Number 8. What was going to happen? As it turns out, we now know what the opening and ending themes for this show is going to be, and who is going to do them. So, in a very bizarre roundabout way of bringing everything together with the popular music industry, you know, outside of Japan. The ending theme is going to be a song called Nobody by OneRepublic. You all know for working with Timbaland and doing that Portugal the Man type song from Top Gun Maverick. And the opening theme is a song called Abyss by Youngblood,
who I remember mainly from that one track they did with Bring Me the Horizon. That's not good.
And for for dating Halsey for
okay.
A brief moment.
Oh no.
But wait, there's more.
Oh.
Because that song is co-written by Dan Reynolds of Imagine Dragons.
Oh!
To say that I was disgusted would be an understatement.
Why?
There are very little things that give me a reaction of just... But this didn't...
Okay, so... Wow, so... Okay, because on the topic of anime and music being performed by, you know, basically bands outside of Japan, let's see. Wow, so... on one hand, you have people like Flying Lotus doing stuff for Yasuke. You have... Well, I think it came on Tuesday. You have Franz Ferdinand doing something for Cyberpunk Edge Runners and Paradise Kiss from way back when. Let's see. Who was this before? You had Alex's most hated band, Oasis, doing something for that one show in the East.
Ew, I don't like talking about that.
Radiohead they licensed Paranoid Android for Ergo Proxy.
Yeah. So there are good elements. There are good examples to be found.
Don't forget about the entirety of JoJo's Bizarre Adventure.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
There are good examples to be found. Now, I know we're being very, very, very snobbish about this, we know what these artists are capable of, and the answer is not a lot.
Yeah.
Like, okay. Memo to the Japanese entertainment industry. Could you not have put these artists on an anime adaptation of something I don't give a shit about? Like... Fucking let Youngblood do the opening theme for Mushoku Tensei or something. Why does it have to be a show that I'm looking forward to? This is a very strange form of torture, and I'm not even sure what I did to deserve it.
I found one more good example. The RZA, Afro Samurai.
Ah, yes. Like, is this some kind of penance for... Like the resurgence of new metal in the online spheres and people going back to those old Dragon Ball soundtracks that had, like, Disturbed and Deftones and Saliva. Are we being punished for it?
Oh, man, that... I don't know if that would have been better, but at least that would have made sense.
Okay, so, if any anime committees want to hire Sugumi to end up something about the, you know, opening things for any anime. Let's see. What about Anderson .Paak would be a theme? What would you use Anderson .Paak as an anime for?
It would sound better than this.
I'll just cap this off by saying that Onimusha anime you totally forgot about on Netflix had its theme by, of all bands, Måneskin. And then there was the show Hanada Shonenshi, a period piece drama that had a pair of songs by the Backstreet Boys.
Oh God, you just said Måneskin. That gave me another horrifying thought. How many of you remember a while back when they had, like, illustrations and, like, a whole-ass music video for them done by the manga author who created Beastars?
Yeah, that was very weird.
And we have one more season of the anime left to go. Studio Orange, don't you fucking dare.
No fear, Måneskin. One fear.
I forget if it was the Pitchfork or Stereo Gum review who said, their music is perfectly suited for making love in a Buffalo Wild Wings bathroom.
You know what? I thought of a worst thing that might happen.
Don't jinx it. We're through the looking glass. Anything is possible.
Okay.
Oh gosh.
Okay, I guess I keep to myself.
Let's not put that kind of energy into the world. I don't need like, oh god. No, I'm not gonna say my own cursed idea. We don't need that toxic energy in the world. Ah, goddamn.
No, instead we have another bit of toxic cringe to talk about here.
Yeah, I'll just say as a parting thought, this is the one instance where hitting the skip intro button on an anime will be acceptable. But now we move on to the last bit of news here, and it's a festival lineup announcement. Looks like we have the bands that are set up for the 2024 edition of the Aftershock Festival. Now, remind me, Alex, this is another one from Danny Wimmer Presents, right?
Yes, there's going to be a lot of crossover, but there are a couple of alterations to be found here.
Yeah, so, okay, I think last time I started off the lineup, which, okay, for context, this is taking place October 10th through the 13th in Discovery Park, Sacramento. So, I think I'm going to go ahead and let you start with the Thursday lineup here.
Yeah, we'll just flip them around. Okay, so, for your Thursday lineup, we have... Oh, hi, Slayer, another show. I'm surprised.
Again, a lot of zeros on those checks.
Ugh. All right, there's also Till Lindemann. Sure. Ministry.
Seriously, they're still around?
Apparently so. Filter. Hawthorne Heights in 2024.
Cut my wrists and black my eyes.
Ugh. I'd rather listen to Jared Alonji do bad Hawthorne Heights parodies and whatever. Adema.
Yeah.
And Like a Storm. Okay. Next we have What's Left of the Pantera Experience.
Yeah.
Which may or may not have new music under a different name, we don't know, but hey, whatever. Hailstorm. Cypress Hill.
Hey!
Yeah. Another bit of those crossover acts. Seven Dust. Where I'm sure they're going to play their hit song, Bitch. Orgy, because we got to keep the lineups consistent. Tim Montana. Reach NYC. Grandson. Drain. Drug Church, Gel, Sloth Thrust, Teen Mortgage, Butterside. That's with D's, not T's.
Okay.
I don't know what it means. Static. Oh, I'm sorry. What's left of Static X? Which I have to point out, Dope has been nowhere to be found for a while, but that's because the main guy in Dope has been busy playing cosplay Wayne Static in this band.
Yeah, I was told about that. Just, ugh.
It's a very, very, very strange situation. All right, there's also Biohazard, Better Lovers, Touche Amore, Jarrah Johnson, Strate Jacket, with an E in there.
Not how you spell that.
Hands like this! Hands like this! Hands like this! Insane Clown Posse.
Fuck the police and the 502.
Yeah. Get the Faygo ready. Ho 9909. Spell it right, you fucks. Veil of Maya. Descartes? I can't. How you say it?
Descartes a Kant. I think it's supposed to be a philosophy thing, but whatever.
All right. Next time I'll get it right. TX2 and Silly Goose, they're back. It's still funny.
Silly Goose.
You don't call your friend a silly goose. You call your friend an asshole.
Yeah, you're an adult. Like, oh, golly gee willikers. Just say fuck. All right. So now we move on to the next day. So October 11th, your big headliner all the way at the top is whatever's left of Slipknot by the time October rolls around. Then underneath that we have Evanescence.
Mm-hmm.
Dropkick Murphys, Highly Suspect, The Warning, Giovanni and the Hired Guns, Hey, it's Giovanni, and Brutus. Then underneath that we have Five Finger Fruit Punch, or whatever the fuck they're called.
Oh, God.
Rise Against, who are still around. Interesting. Architects. Poppy, if I remember what that's supposed to actually fucking say.
That's Poppy.
There's Lilith Czar, Dead Poets Society, and Vended. Oh, no, wait, there's more. Mastodon, nice. Juliet and the Licks, Marky Ramone doing some bullshit or whatever. Taproot, Soul Glow, nice. Capitol Theater, fucking Icy Stars, really?
Oh, God. That man Hawthorne Heights on the same bill?
Oh, God.
Cringe Central.
Yeah, so if anybody else is going to do, like, cringe things out in the world, you get a free pass because it's all here in two bands.
Ugh.
Anyway, there's Darren Malakian and Scars on Broadway, LS Dunes, Joey Valance and Bray, The Chisel, Winota Fighter, get it? Local H, as opposed to the other 25 letters of the alphabet, Jigsaw Youth, still don't know if it's the one I played in. Ah, here we go. Fucking Code Orange.
Ah, there it is.
We're still not rid of them, even though I don't think anyone actually liked that last album. Bayside. Drugs, which as a reminder is an acronym for Destroy, Rebuild Until God Shows. Moonshine Bandits, Hemorrhage, and Royale Lynn. Those are some bands. And up next is October 12th with some more bands.
Okay, so up to top we have Iron Maiden. Sure. Bruce, don't quit your day job, and also don't make any more solo albums because...
That bad, huh?
It was not great. All right, we have the Benjamin Burnley Experience, a.k.a. What's Up to Breaking Benjamin. Anthrax, Sleeping with Sirens. POD, who are probably going to tell everybody about how wonderful Jesus Christ is for 30 minutes.
Yeah.
While also subjecting everybody to Southtown. Ugh.
Oh, God.
Wish.com Spirit Box, New Year's Day.
Ugh.
Alien Weaponry. Judas Priest.
Cool.
Several musicians who are getting paid way too much money to deal with Aaron Lewis, a.k.a. Stained.
The opposite of cool.
Yeah. Mm. Clutch.
Serve crab cakes.
Glorified one-hit wonders, Cold Chamber.
The best Cold Chamber song is the Psycho Stick parody called Queso.
Haha, yes. Rival Sons. One Hit Wonderland alumni, Alien Ant Farm.
And just like the movies.
So we're going to get old. Unofficial one-hit wonder, CKY.
Yeah, they're still around.
Yeah. Lauren...
Lorna Shore.
I'm sorry, it's just... All the edge puts me to sleep. Okay. City Morgue.
Me here with my giant foam finger that says Lorna Shore is number one.
Well, there's Whitechapel.
Nice.
Yeah, we can always agree on Whitechapel being awesome. Okay, show me the body.
Now, when you say that, do they mean, like, in a kinky way, or are we investigating a murder?
Yes.
Okay, then.
Yeah.
Okay, El Nino.
Ugh.
Which, for some reason, I sometimes get confused with El Divo, but I don't know why. Nerve, no relation to Nerve. Low Spirit. Body Count. Fugitive. Military Gun. High Vs? Vice? Vis? Okay, Holy Fawn, Damage, the N is silent, The Funeral Portrait, Tech Nine, or as Gulk could say,
Tech Nine!
Hey. Without all the extra gruff and grit in the voice, Seosin, Bad Wolves, Though, to be fair, they've gone from a bad generic band to a generic band. Any Given Sin, Self-Deception, and Deadlands.
That is, again, a collection of bands. So now that just leaves us to tackle October 13th. Sadly, not on a Friday. So your big headliner for that day is the Motley Crue Content Farm, also known as Motley Crue. And then moving on from there, we have, oh god, what smells like bullshit. Oh, it's just falling in reverse, okay.
Ew.
God, someone get the Raid, just spray it out. Let's see, then there's, Skillet.
Okay, what is this arrangement here?
This we feels have like...
from the bottom up, we have Jesus Freak, Abortion is Murder Skillet. We have goddamn cringe-ass Ronnie Radke and what's left of Motley Crue. This does not flow right.
This feels like a... This feels like what you play if you're trying to scare raccoons out of your yard.
Ugh.
Maybe this is like you know that joke in Futurama about using the, where like, I think it was like Fry's brother said he wanted to use the Breakfast Club soundtrack to clear out the wedding reception? Maybe this is what they're doing. They're like, okay, we need a quick way to get everyone the fuck out of here. Let's put three of the worst bands right next to each other.
Okay, Motley Crue, okay. Yeah. Play Brandon.
No. Tommy Lee's just gonna threaten to show everybody his dick on stage again.
Yeah. Ugh. But anyway, moving on from that, we have Bad Flower, Ginger, not bad, Oxymorons, two R's, and Point North. I don't know where North is from here, so I can't point at it. Then there's also Disturbed, okay, Seether, okay, Nothing More, okay, my shoulders are really working overtime on this, Eagles of Death Metal, I give them a thumbs up, From Ashes to New, Drowning Pool, Head P.E., Flogging Molly and Dropkick Murphys on the same festival. I see. Let's see. There's Pup. Oh, hey, look. It's my roommate's favorite band. Set It Off.
I don't know if you're serious or kidding.
I am not. They do listen to quite a lot of Set It Off. They also listen to a lot of Sleep Token, though, so it balances out.
Okay. Okay.
Citizen Soldier. Holding Absence. Caskets. Low Lives. Tom Morello. Resorte, with an E at the end. The Armed. Bob Villain. Still real proud of that one, huh? Power Man 5000.
Sure.
We never did figure out what happened to the first 4,999 Power Men, did we?
Nope.
Maybe they're hiding out with the other 181 Blinks. Let's see. Mike's dead? Oh, no, I liked
Mike. Which Mike?
I don't know. It could be a lot of Mikes.
Mike's a common-ass name.
Let's see. Shadows Fall. Okay, not bad. What Remains of Fear Factory. Narrowhead. Blame My Youth. Jagger Jaeger Bonham. However you pronounce that. And Gozu. That is a collection of names, again.
So, yeah, this... I mean, I think this one the same presenter was named Danny Wimmer.
Yep.
And, I know it's a no-shit thing, but... I feel a bit of deja vu.
Yeah, like I said, there's a lot of crossover and similarity between the festivals because it's the same promoter and he just likes to keep all the main people up on top.
Maybe we'll Skillet.
Yeah. For some reason. Like, can we just replace Skillet with like 3-6 Mafia?
Yeah, that would be pretty fucking dope.
And maybe get rid of Hawthorne Heights for a proper emo band.
Yeah, but sadly we do not live in that world. We live in this one. Just the absolute worst.
Yes, we live in a long eternal month, Helluary.
Yeah, but
so in Helltober.
Welcome to Hell World, people.
Stupid smarch weather.
So, that basically about does it for the news discussions. Now the one last thing we have to touch on is the new album releases for March 8th, 2024. Starting at the top, from the underground metal veterans Exorder, we have Defectum Omnium. From bigger name metal veterans Judas Priest, we have their new album Invincible Shield. From More Mother, there's her new album The Great Bailout. And last but certainly not least, from Ariana Grande, we have Eternal Sunshine. Now, time to clean house and get the hell out of here. So, Alex, where can they find you on the internet?
Still, same places, this show, my other show, the Discord, other Discords, maybe some other places. I don't know. I'm just in a holding pattern right now for various reasons. The days blend together, and I am about to... I don't know. I lost my train of thought a minute ago.
Fair enough. Mark, what about you?
Let's see. On this show, Metal Media on whatever you can find me, my site, my hype one, thehypedevilpress.com. I know I keep saying I got something coming up soon. I might, sometimes I get, let's just say I'm writing some things, but they're in development, as in I got a lot of things to write, but not like Tyler Perry that one time we got scripts. I write like one or two things at a time.
Noted. And as for me, you can find me on Twitter, Blue Sky, etc., at Rob Barracuda. You can email me, Robert@SewerResolution.com for questions, comments, concerns, and inquiries. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts. New audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. Be sure to follow us on, you know, Twitter at SuperRezzo. Like us on Facebook. Visit the website, SuperResolution.com, for written articles, this podcast, podcast O&A, all that good stuff. You'll also find a link to our Discord there, which I recommend joining, as that is the most reliable way to be noticed, to be notified immediately whenever anything new goes up on the website. So, yeah, be sure to join there. And that about does it for this week. So, thank you so much for listening. We'll be back later on with the monthly album roundup for January and February. Because, you know, the year was off to a bit of a slow start, as it usually is. And until next time, if you'll excuse me, I have some unfinished business with my roommate.
Hey, yo, Cass!